It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Today's podcast is brought to you by AlleyRepair.com. Don't leave your skee-ball machines lying around collecting dust in the basement. Let AlleyRepair.com bring those machines back to life. High-quality workmanship for your skee-ball playing needs. Contact AlleyRepair.com today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Fro Life Wrestling Podcast. In this episode, we're going to discuss kind of a hodgepodge, a little this and that of wrestling tidbits from around the globe, all for some discussion about some of the WrestleMania conversations that's been going on lately, and do a little matchmaking of our own at the end. We're even going to touch on a kind of an outside-the-box thing for us topic to start things off with Manny Pacquiao. I know we're not a boxing podcast, it's all good, but you got to address the rumor that Manny Pacquiao is now ready to fight Conor McGregor since Floyd Mayweather doesn't seem to want to step up to the plate and be a man. You know, Floyd Mayweather's all about the money and everything like that. You would anticipate that either one of these guys, either Mayweather or Pacquiao, would destroy McGregor in a boxing ring. Mixed martial arts, totally different. I think he'd tear either one of them up. But in a boxing ring, either one of these guys would take him down pretty quickly. For Floyd Mayweather, it would be easy money. The guy can make $100 million quickly if he just signed the fight. Instead, Pacquiao is man enough to step up for whatever terms. I hope the fight happens just so we could see McGregor go out, probably lose to Pacquiao, which would be great for Pacquiao, horrible for Floyd Mayweather because he'd miss out on that huge payday, and I would love to see Floyd Mayweather miss out on a huge payday just so he could feed that to his ego. The guy drives me crazy. I'm going to get off the boxing stuff real fast, but I had to throw that out there because I was intrigued by that so much. Moving on to the Kenny Omega watch. You know, the other day, Kenny Omega, in the last couple weeks, has been the topic of conversation for wrestling fans. Those who want to see him come into the Royal Rumble, who want to see him in WWE or whatever, really curious to see what's going on with him and his career. You know, there's conversation out there that people think that he's already re-signed with New Japan Pro Wrestling. I am not one of those people who believes that. It's not that it's not possible, but his path the last few weeks, the companies that he's doing performances for, have been rather interesting if he's somebody who just re-signed with New Japan Pro Wrestling. This past weekend, Forefront Wrestling, an organization that had booked Cody Rhodes to face Tiger Ali in a match. Cody Rhodes couldn't be there. He was at the Dax Shadow Memorial, which is a beautiful thing. And I don't want to get on a somber note, so I'm going to move past that relatively quickly. Just a good thumbs up to Cody Rhodes for doing the right thing there. But Kenny Omega stepping up and taking his booking against Tiger Ali for the Forefront Wrestling show. You know, this is a guy who he could show up in any arena, any company, and he immediately makes an impact. You know, the cleaner is a huge attraction, and WWE is stupid if they don't jump on the bandwagon to sign this guy sooner rather than later. I don't know why everybody seems to think that they have to wait another year to try to make a push for this guy. I wouldn't let one day go by that his New Japan contract ran out that I wouldn't have gone after him. On the topic of these offshoot promotions and these other companies that are doing, in my opinion, a great job of recreating the territorial feel. Right now, All American Wrestling, AAW, has been putting on some killer shows lately. This past weekend, again, they put on a show called the Don't Stop Believing event. You had some big names on the show. Homicide, Eddie Kingston, TNA's Moose was there, Lucha Underground's Jack Evans, Drew Galloway, Abyss, Colt Cabana, ACH, Phoenix. Like, names that No, they're not WWE superstars, but in the world of wrestling, I've noticed that there's a bigger trend in wrestling fans. You got the people who know about WWE because they're in mainstream media, but they're not really a wrestling fan. And then you got real wrestling fans, and those real fans know exactly who most of those people are. And if they don't, then they're missing out on an opportunity. If you've never seen Abyss wrestle or Colt Cabana, Jack Evans with the high-flying stuff, or if you're not watching Moose right now in TNA, and I've said it before on this podcast, I feel like I'm getting Moose crammed down my throat half the time by TNA, but at the end of the day, he's a great talent. These shows are putting on some killer matches, and they're doing it with a significantly lower budget than World Wrestling Entertainment, and they're attracting a huge audience because of it. Not that all their booking is fabulous. I gotta say, at this All-American Wrestling event, this AAW event, they had Candice LeRae come out and challenge Sami Callihan for the world title. I'm not a fan, ever have been, of the women versus men matches. I think it's just ridiculous. Maybe, just maybe, the sexy star thing on Lucha Underground might be okay. She seems to be able to hold her own there and do it convincingly, but even that to me is a little overboard. It's really awesome to see people like Charlotte and Sasha and people like that have these killer matches on WWE TV, but that doesn't mean that a woman versus a male match should be something that should be an everyday occurrence, and I think that some of these promotions need to calm that down. Some people say match of the night, this AAW show, is Matt Sydal going against Davey Richards, which to me is an intriguing opportunity anyways. You've got somebody who showcases their talents in Ring of Honor versus a TNA talent, and they apparently tore the house down. Davey Richards actually lost the match to Sydal, who hit the 450 splash on him, and then made an announcement that he wasn't the only Richards appearing that night. And all of a sudden, here comes his wife, Angelina Love, walking out. She ended up losing to Mercedes Martinez, which, still good match, especially as far as women's wrestling goes. Angelina Love's always been a solid performer, as has Mercedes Martinez, putting on a good show, but interesting to see the play on the husband-wife thing, especially after they both were out of the ring for so long after the birth of their child and the injury to Davey Richards. So, awesome seeing them back in action. And the main event of that night was the Unbreakable Effin' Machines, which are a tag team made up of Brian Cage from Lucha Underground and Michael Elgin, who is touring New Japan most of the time now, former Ring of Honor guy, going against ACH and Phoenix, and seeing ACH and Phoenix come out on top in that match. Great match. And if you haven't gotten a chance to see some of these matches or All-American Wrestling in general, go on to YouTube. Hit them up on their website, aawrestling.com. Do whatever you got to do. These people are putting on great shows. And there's no reason that a wrestling fan should be pigeonholed into purely the WWE feeling show. You know, people fell in love with ECW back in the day because it didn't have that overproduced big camera angle look to it. And that's what you get with some of these shows. AAW, Revolution Pro, places like that. Speaking of Revolution Pro, I cannot even begin to tell you how cool their event was this weekend, having stars from their own corporation, of course, TNA, Ring of Honor, New Japan, and competitors from the recent WWE UK Championship Tournament, all on the same show. One of them being Pete Dunne, who, having a little bit of like character confusion, you know, the guy's supposed to be playing the heel here, but because of what happened in the WWE Tournament, like, he's over. People love the guy. You know, I actually thought he looked like a complete schmuck in that tournament, but whatever, that's just my opinion. But as far as playing the heel, he did a good job. He ended up losing to Yoshihashi from New Japan, which was an opportunity to see some great interpromotional cross-country challenges that you don't typically get to see. Get to see Jack Sabre Jr. and Marty Scurll. They did a 45-minute show that was just out of this world, insane match. And, you know, every time, you know, Sabre Jr. gets in the ring, it's going to be a killer match. They had Trent Seven and Trevor Lee show up for this opportunity, which is interesting because Trevor Lee was supposed to be at the AAW event the night before and didn't show up. He's like half the tag team champions in AAW, and I guess he stiffed them to go over and do Revolution Pro, but whatever. I guess that's the way things happen when you're booking yourself on the independents. They had Katsuhiro Shibata take on Matt Riddle for the Revolution Pro British Heavyweight Championship, which, you know, if you've never seen Shibata and Riddle before, either one of these talents, they're both amazing. You know, New Japan has gold with Shibata and a whole host of other talents, but this great match. And the end of the night saw Zack Sabre Jr. coming out and actually getting in the face of Shibata, trying to set something up for the future, which should be something to look at, because that's going to be a match that's going to be high flying. There's going to be high spots. There's going to be technical wrestling all over the place. So look forward to seeing that. Let's go over some of the more recent WWE tidbits. First off, the Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman tease on Monday Night Raw. They had this, we think we said this in one of the other podcasts, they had like a real organic face-off. You know, it showed that the potential of what could have happened. If you could have heard the fans say, this is awesome chance. You know, you hear those a lot, but in that moment, you really felt it. You felt like, oh my God, you know, if these two get in the ring, we really don't know what's going to happen. And it obviously is an opportunity. But now there's conversation that that potential match might be putting common sense in jeopardy for WrestleMania. You know, we've been sitting here all this time talking about Goldberg and Brock and their rubber match at Mania. I almost get the sense that they might fast track that and do it at Fastlane, no pun intended, you know. And I guess there's a little piece of me that's okay if they do that, you know, just, but you got to get the rubber match out of the way. It has to happen somewhere, sometime, and it has to happen soon. And if you're not going to do it at Mania, do it at Fastlane, get it out of the way, because Goldberg clearly is in great shape. He's still going to put on a main event quality match at WrestleMania, no matter who he goes against. But my concern here is that what do you do with Goldberg if you don't have him in a match with Brock Lesnar? You know, what do you do with the rest of the card? Does Roman Reigns, and only a couple days ago, there was rumors of Roman Reigns going against Braun Strowman. You know, now, do you put Goldberg against Roman Reigns? Do you have Roman Reigns definitely win the title at the Royal Rumble and face Goldberg for the title at Mania? I mean, those are things that could happen. You know, in my personal opinion, it really, the Universal title should stay around Kevin Owens' waist and he should defend against Chris Jericho. They are easily the biggest attraction in WWE right now. Whether it's The List or the Kevin Owens show or whatever it is, or this play on this best friend's ridiculous angle that's been going on for 7 months, it is not often nowadays that people see the same angle going for this long and are enjoying it the whole time. I'm not saying that I want to see the same four guys in the main event of Raw every week, but people haven't seen these two go at it in a real good physical altercation, and that's what people are waiting to see. In my opinion, WrestleMania, it should be for the Universal title, and it should see Chris Jericho go over. He's earned it. With the work he's done in this past year, he's earned it. Kurt Angle, another hot-button topic this week. You know, what are the chances of him actually entering the Royal Rumble versus just having a match at WrestleMania? You know? And if you're gonna bring him back just for Mania, you got to be careful who you book him against. Okay, at the end of the day, I'm sure Kurt Angle does not mind putting over a talent. In the independent scene last year, he put over Cody Rhodes. He took another match from Cody Rhodes. They're going to have their rubber match in February or March. But at the end of the day, Kurt Angle is not going to be opposed to putting somebody over if it's the right guy. And who you put him against would be huge to decide whether or not you used him appropriately for a match at Mania. So, that being said, it's time for some crazy matchmaking for WrestleMania. I'm going to run down, because we are getting close to the Royal Rumble, and I'm sure we're going to have one more podcast coming out either late Tuesday or early Wednesday, addressing everything that happened on Raw and SmackDown. And some of my conversation here could change after the Rumble, which we'll have a podcast after the Rumble. But, if I had to book WrestleMania right now, here's the card, okay? Real simple. Universal title, Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho, and I put Chris Jericho over. WWE World title, AJ Styles for me would still be champion, and he'd be defending and losing that championship belt to Bray Wyatt. I think nobody in the World Wrestling Entertainment is more deserving than Bray Wyatt of being world champion right now. Nobody. For the Intercontinental title, Dean Ambrose versus Randy Orton versus the newly signed Kenny Omega, in a three-way dance that I think could really do some special things. Kenny Omega is so adaptable. He could do a match with just about anybody's style. Dean Ambrose, Randy Orton, their faces have been there for a little while. He freshens up what could be considered to be a stale old match. And at the same time, he can work with Randy Orton in a more physical sense. He could work with Dean Ambrose in a faster pace. It would make for a great matchup. And I put the Intercontinental title, believe it or not, on Randy Orton. I feel like Randy Orton has been buried. Ever since he lost the world title to Daniel Bryan, he's just been sitting around in the middle of nowhere. It'd be nice to see Randy Orton with some gold for a change. The guy is not as old as people seem to think he is. He's actually quite young. For the United States title, Seth Rollins taking on the call-up from NXT, Shinsuke Nakamura. I cannot, in any combination of wrestlers right now in World Wrestling Entertainment, there is no match that I'm dying to see more, probably, than the Seth Rollins, Shinsuke Nakamura. You know it's got to happen at some point. Make it happen at WrestleMania and put a title on the line. Just pull that U.S. title off of Chris Jericho. Have Kevin Owens cost him the title somehow. That could set up their match, but put that belt on Seth Rollins so he has something to fight Shinsuke Nakamura for at WrestleMania. For the Raw Tag Team titles, Sheamus and Cesaro, Gallows and Anderson, Enzo Big Cass, Rusev, Jinder Mahal, and I'd put the belts on either Gallows and Anderson or Rusev and Mahal. Rusev and Mahal, in a short period of time, have become, for me, enjoyable to watch every week. I like seeing their matches. I like seeing what they're going to do. It's different. You know, we've had Rusev kind of in our face for the last couple years, but not in a tag team and not in the way he's been used recently. And Jinder Mahal has been severely underappreciated for forever and a day. It'd be nice to see the guy get some success for a change. It's really a shame it's been this long. When we look at the women's championships for both brands, I've said this before, put them both into one match. Six women, two shows. Whoever you pin, you win the championship that they're brand represents. I don't care how you do it, but there's too many top tier talented women right now on the shows combined to separate them into two matches, because you know Vince isn't going to give that much TV time to the women anyways. We're still working on that women's revolution here, and this would be their best way to showcase as many of their talents as they can in a high profile match. I want to throw a little swerve into the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. American Alpha, I'm okay with them carrying the belts all the way to WrestleMania, but I'm ready for something different. I want them to come out unannounced. I want, or at least not announcing who their opponent's going to be. An American Alpha open challenge. Have them come out to the ring, let them be in there, throw out a challenge to any team that wants to step up, and have the New Day jump to SmackDown and take the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. They could use the storyline that they want to start the longest SmackDown Tag Team Championship reign in history, now that they already did one on Raw. I think it would make for a great storyline. It'd be a good way to freshen them up. They could go back to being heel for a little while. I just think that's a way to keep the team together, because they draw so well. They make so much money. I have a tough time with them trying to break them up right now. As for the Cruiserweight title, I actually think they should make a philosophical change when it comes to the Cruiserweights. I really believe that they should stop booking a ladder match for the Intercontinental or US title. I think they should make that the Cruiserweights. The kids can fly higher than anybody. Let's have a Cruiserweight Money in the Bank ladder match. I don't even care what the six or eight guys or whatever you want to put in a ring. Put them all out there and let them put on just a high spot showcase. I have The Undertaker taking on a heel version of John Cena. I know that one's been said over and over and over, but at the end of the day, it's not one that I'm willing to let The Undertaker retire and never have had. I don't want to see that kind of regret in fans. So let's just get it out of the way. If he comes back next year, put him against Strowman next year. If you want to put him against Reigns, put him against Reigns next year. If you want to put him against, you know, Finn Balor, if he's coming back, have him go against Finn Balor next year. But this year, let's get the John Cena match out of the way. Kurt Angle, I have him in a match, and I want to see him against Samoa Joe. It's been done in TNA, it has not been in WWE, and it is a match that people would love to see one more time. That's what I would book, and I'd have Joe go over, and I know Kurt Angle would have no trouble putting Joe over. Goldberg versus Roman Reigns. I don't even care if there's a championship on the line. There's a great opportunity there. The fans really blew up when they were face-to-face a couple weeks ago on Raw. It makes business sense. It's best for business, you know, whatever. I think that would be a money match, and I don't think a title has to be on the line to make it that. And if that, I'm only saying that because it seems like they're going to move the Brock Lesnar fight. I'm okay with Brock versus Braun Strowman. As a matter of fact, that's what I have on my card too. The only problem I have with the match is it seems like a lot of people want to see Braun Strowman win that match. Now, here's the thing. I've seen people claim, you know, oh, well, Brock has lost to John Cena and Triple H, and he's lost to various people in The Undertaker and people like that in the last couple years, and Goldberg in a minute and 20, whatever. That I get that. But at the end of the day, Brock Lesnar is still a huge draw. If you keep getting the guy beat, you're going to kill the golden goose. Braun Strowman doesn't need to beat Brock to be made by Brock. Brock should still win the match. Strowman should look great in the match. It would catapult Strowman into the main event stratosphere. You know, the night after WrestleMania, whoever walks out and challenges the champion is going to jump right in the main event spotlight. Strowman could lose to Brock and walk right out and become a challenger right away anyways. So I still have them in the match, but I have Brock going over. And of course, there has to be an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. You know, for me, this is, I know it's not a popular opinion, but this is where I would bring Finn Balor back. I'd bring Hideo Itami back, since he was in one once before and then got hurt right away afterwards. You know, Finn Balor coming back fresh. He is your future. You do not want to take a chance on putting him in a 20 to 30 minute match where he's going to end up getting hurt just after coming off surgery. I'd rather save him, put him in the Battle Royal, and I would not give him the win. I would actually go for a two-time winner in Baron Corbin. not because Baron Corbin deserves it, but because it creates a storyline that hasn't been used before. This Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal thing has only been out for so long. Put it out there. First two-time champion. It'll give him something to fight for, and let's face it, they're clearly pushing this kid to be a main event star at some point this calendar year. In 2017, Baron Corbin will be challenging for the world title, and when he does, we need to make sure that the people are ready to believe in him. And if you don't give him some kind of legit victory, and he's obviously not going into a world title match at Mania, then you got to do something else. That's all the time we have for this episode, but check back with us in episode 10. We're going to cover all the happenings in the world of wrestling. We're going to review what happens on Raw and SmackDown, the last ones, the go-home shows before the Royal Rumble. And we'll see what's going on in the wrestling world, maybe make some more predictions. We might have to adjust a few things we just talked about based on whatever happens there. And then we'll be back again Sunday night or early Monday to try to review the Royal Rumble. In the meantime, special thanks go out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all of our music and sound effects used in today's show. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games and bring some fun and excitement to family game night. Go to www.thegamecrafter.com/sketchypeople. That's SKETCHYPEOPLE to pick up your copy today. To the U.S. News & World Report Best Colleges 2017, available now at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. To AlleyRepair.com, contact Alley Repair today for servicing all of your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade needs. And to A&B Education of Lansdale, bringing intercultural education to talented students from around the world. We want to thank you for listening to today's podcast, and we encourage you to go to our website at www.frolifeplanning.com to learn more about what Mr. Fro can do for you in your path to higher education. Remember, Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro, and I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today, and we look forward to discussing more current events and rumors in our next show. So long, everybody.